Hey, yo, and here we go. Another episode of We Talk Music is on the air and in your ear. And I'm Mo, joined once again, riding with a shotgun. I don't know. Maybe he's got the wheel. Probably does. He's the king of the casters. He's the man with the golden voice, Mr. Brett Podcast. Brett, nobody wants to hear from you. I you know what? I'll be honest with you. Nobody really wants to hear from you because we have a guest who's going to be way more interesting than you. Most people are. And I open the podcast always, praising you, and then I go right into the insults. But no insults for our guest. Who is it?
Oh, well, our guest, wonderful singer. He is part of the band Asphalt Valentine. He is Joe Flint. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing very well, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we are truly happy to have you on. Great band. Really enjoy your music. And so, happy to have you here to talk about it.
Fantastic. Yeah, and we're excited to get the word out about the new record that we just had released in February 28th. I'm sure we'll get to those questions, but again, thank you guys for having me.
Well, I think you've already got an idea what kind of show you're in for here from the opening, but I want to give everybody kind of an idea of what it is Asphalt Valentine's like, and to do that, I'm going to go to do your Facebook page here, and it talks about the band. It says five guys with one goal, sweaty, dirty, ballsy rock and roll. And then it says band interests, vodka run, PBR, natty light, smokes dank dark rock and roll clubs, strip clubs, poker traveling hundreds of miles for little pay and causing the soaking of many a woman's undergarments. Now that's rock and roll. See you on the roll. Does that sum up the band?
Well, okay, so the band has been together for like 15 years, so I'm sure a lot of that's happened here and there.
No, is that...
When I read that, I was like, I thought that was the best thing. I'm like, I got to read that whole thing on the air. The soaking of many a woman's undergarments.
That is fantastic. Now, was that written before you took a little break, or is that brand new?
I do not know when that was written. I would assume it was a little bit before, because, like I said, we have been together for like 15 years. We traveled a lot of miles. So, lots of alcohol, women's undergarment, midgets, everything you can think of. We've experienced sleeping in the van in a truck stop, waking up to a trailer full of pigs. We've been around a bit. So,
well, I'm already excited. We need these stories now.
you can't just leave. You can't say going to bed and waking up around pigs and just leave it hanging. You got to give us the whole thing there.
Look, I can't remember what city it was in. We've done some pretty good touring, and we really love why we've been together for so long is just because we love the camaraderie in getting together and traveling in the van. We got a conversion van that we travel in, so it's kind of cool. It's pretty comfy. We don't always make enough money to get a hotel room. So sometimes you sleep where you can, and a truck stop is a good spot. And I can't remember where it was. I want to say it was somewhere in the Midwest, and waking up from some fog, and I opened the door and it was foggy outside, and there was this smell that was going on, and I heard all these noises. They had no idea what the hell was going on. And, as soon as the fuzz from my eye clears, I see we're sitting right next to a truck with a trailer full of pigs. And, so that's how you wake up, and suddenly I wanted bacon for breakfast.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've all woken up next to a pig that we didn't know we had got from the night before, haven't we?
I have none of those stories. I don't know what you're talking about.
best not to go into that one, right? But so the main reason that you're here is to talk about Twisted Road, which is your new album, and that one came out on February 28th. I know there's some oddities about people being able to find it on Spotify due to your band name suddenly changing to Asphalt Valentine, but
Asphalt Valentine really should be the name of Brett's band. Boom. See what I did there? Boom. Asphalt. Boom. Anyways.
You know,
this has got to be annoying, though.
Yeah, as funny as we found it, because we can find the humor in any take. You know, we don't have any creative control over all that. That goes through the label. I don't know what happened with that. As soon as we saw it, it was immediately identified, and I think it got corrected in like 2 or 3 days or something. But yeah, it was a little bit of a surprise. We chuckled, and you know, we didn't post anything about it. But you know, it's like, all right, ask that. We can make a lot of jokes here, and but we just kind of let it go. And you know, when we released the record first, it was on digital. It wasn't on digital format for about a month. It was only on physical copy because that was kind of a marketing thing with the label, and they wanted people to, you know, people who want physical records, it's available, and you know, peel back the cellophane, open the CD, and read the liner notes and all that stuff. So we only had it available for, you know, about a month on physical CD, and those actually moved very well on Amazon. And then, you know, we were excited to get the digital release because we were getting a lot of people asking about that, because, you know, we're in a digital world and people do like to download. And when it came out, you know, when we saw Ask That, that was a bit of a surprise, but we rolled with it, and it's all fixed now. So you can find it on the iTunes and Spotify under the actual name.
I hate to tell you this, but we found out that it was like that because we found it was still like that a couple places.
Oh, really? Is it still?
Yes, it has been fixed on Spotify. Google Music and YouTube Music, though, is still listing it as ASFAT. And that's what we use typically. So I want everybody, they should go look up both, because they really do need to listen to the album Twisted Road. It's really fine rock and roll.
Yeah, well, thank you.
But
yeah,
hopefully, you get that cleared up completely.
Yeah, I appreciate you pointing that out, because we don't always go to all the sites and stuff. So I appreciate you pointing that out. And as soon as we get off the phone here, I'm going to go directly to the label and discuss this again.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many places, right? But you know, at the same time, it's a great thing, because there is a lot of opportunities to hear the album, and you know, like Mo said, I mean, it's wonderful stuff. I mean, it's like you say, I mean, it's got that ballsy rock and roll feel. Now, I do think it feels a little bit more, you know, I guess mature than the older work, and I'm sure that's, you know, probably what you were going for.
Well, we don't sit down to write any particular you know, style or anything, and you know, as we grow older, we're, you know, kind of figuring out as we go. What comes out. So we weren't trying to go mature, but it just happened. And, you know, when we decided to do a full length as opposed to singles and EPs, we realized that we did have a lot of good material. And that's why we went for the full record as opposed to going down that path that a lot of other musicians are going down, where they're just releasing EPs and singles nowadays. And we felt there was a lot of dynamics to the record. So you're going to hear, you know, some, you know, dirtier rock, and you're going to hear some ballads, and you're going to hear some pop, and you're going to hear a little bit more power metal. So we thought cohesively that the record really, really complemented song by song. So, you know, that's kind of why we did it.
You know, because I think there's a lot of great songs. Like, I think maybe As the Crow Flies might be my favorite overall on the album. But I like the fact that it's right after Twisted Road, which is really good. So, I mean, you've got a lot of, you know, you're telling a lot of good stories, I think.
Yeah, and what's funny is about As the Crow Flies, you know, we had that song in our catalog for a couple years. We played it out live a couple times, but it was never called that. We were recording it as a different song. The music was the same. But as I started listening to the rest of the record, I sat back and the lyrics and the melodies didn't really make sense for what we were doing. So while we were in the studio, I went back home and I completely rewrote all the lyrics and the melodies to it, to what I thought better complemented the record as a whole. So you know, having the ability to have a full production recording studio where we practice, you know, we get to do that. And that's one of the benefits. And it's kind of a knife at the same time, because we can spend months on a song beating it to death as well. So, you know, but yeah, that was a fun one. I thought it came out really good. You know, it was one of the last things that I did, changing up the melody, and I'm glad you like that song.
Yeah, my favorite is actually The Only, and it's kind of funny. I mean, I was listening to it, I'm like, oh, I think this is shot up to my favorite song I've heard of 2020. Was my shot. I'm like, oh, this is my favorite new song of 2020, but I guess it's maybe not quite so new, you know, after doing a little research.
It's not. We actually did release that as a single back in 2017. It's a really cool story, because my buddy, who I'm not sure if you've watched the music video to it, but it's on YouTube, and we kind of put it together ourselves. And it was kind of the time where we were laying low a little bit, even though we put that out. But my buddy, he's a high school friend of mine, and he just started climbing mountains. I mean, he started in the Appalachians, then he moved to the Rockies. And then where this video is shot, he's going through the Andes Mountains down in South America on foot by himself. And he contacted me at a hostel that he was staying at. He had the first line of poetry and said, hey, I got this in my head. I feel like it needs some music. Here you go. Let me know what you can do with it. And I started writing that, and I thought it was starting to come out really cool. And once the band got involved and started doing a little bit, you know, there's a little bit of spaghetti western kind of licks in there and stuff. And we thought it came out really cool. We put it out, but we didn't do a lot of marketing behind it. So that's why we put it on the record, even though we released it in 2017, because we thought it was a good complement to the rest of the record, and that, you know, the dynamics, just, it showed everybody where we were going with our music.
It does have a bit of a different, obviously it has a different feel from what was in the previous album, but even from this album, I mean, it just, it stands out to me. I think that's why I like it so much. It stands out very much. It's got a different vibe, a different groove a little bit. You know, it's very unique, you know, and I think that's what made it memorable to me.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, like I said, we don't sit down to write a particular song. When he sent that to me, I tried to get in his head of where he was at, you know, trying to portray what it's like to be alone out there by yourself and accomplishing this massive task, which he set a record for climbing the Andes Mountains on foot by himself in the fastest time.
Yeah.
And so if you watch the video, you know, we combined some studio shots where we played, but a lot of the video footage is of him actually doing all the stuff and the places that he's seen. And the apex of the video at the end is where he's hit the top at Machu Picchu, and he's, you know, just doing push-ups and you know, just excited. And we thought it was really cool. I mean, everybody together, once I started writing it and kind of got that vibe down, everybody put their little parts in, and it really came together cool.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody would have expected that song necessarily from the same band that did F-City, you know. It's completely different vibe from that.
Well, and that is why we are a very dynamic band. So you can have a song like Fox City and talk about some, yeah, some of that stuff, because we've been there before. But, you know, we don't want to limit ourselves to, you know, be in a box of, you know, this is, we're going to write tongue in cheek kind of stuff. But we will write some of that stuff here and there when the time comes.
Yeah, I think that's really apparent on the album, because it's a cohesive whole, but it explores different styles in the music at the same time. Your influences, I think that's one thing that you guys list, is that your influences, you wear them proudly on your sleeves.
We do, and we have a lot of different influences. I mean, we all come from different backgrounds. We're all of different ages. I mean, our ages range, I think, you know, timelines of 15 to 20 years in between bandmates. So,
wow.
You know, some of us are really, you know, old school. In you know, it's all about the blues based rock, Aerosmith and Stones and stuff. But we also love pop. I mean, we covered a Pink song for crying out loud, you know. And then, you know, we like metal and punk, and so we all have different influences, and I think it really kind of shows that we're not just a one trick wonder, you know, that can do just your basic rock song, and that we when we come together, we all add these different influences in there. It's not on purpose. It's just what we do.
Now, I guess that you have a single coming out for this, The Twisted Road, which is just a good rocker. I think it's a good example. I understand you guys got a video coming out for that.
Yeah, we do. We filmed it, luckily enough, just before all this COVID stuff went down. And so we actually wanted to have it released. We were supposed to play in Baltimore at this music festival that got shut down, of course, and we wanted to have it released before then. That was mid-March, and that actually gave the video production company a little bit more time to work on it and make it good, and we received the final copy this last week, and it's looking really good. So we are going to be releasing that, where we refreshed our .com website, so all of that is going to be released cohesively, and we think it's going to be really cool.
And what do you think is going to be the date for the release of that?
Well, at this time, I think we are thinking maybe this weekend, maybe early next week. Okay. We're working with our label to do more of a, you know, promotion with the release, and he's working with other outlets to help cross promote it. So it's kind of one of those, you know, we can put it out there whenever we want, but we want to do it right and make sure that the label is included and that they are marketing it correctly. So, you know, once we get all that down, I think we're going to be good. It should be this weekend or next week.
Should be this weekend. Okay, that's great, because, you know, we'd like to put it into the post and into the podcast and everything. Is there a concept behind the video that we should know about?
Well, you know, it was kind of tough, because I went through a couple different video companies, and you know, we tried to been planning it for a while, and then when I decided that is, you know, it's D-Day, we have to do this, we didn't really have a storyboard. So basically it's a lot of live footage and some studio shots. But our video guy was able to pull some really cool stock footage out there of some twisted roads and things. So it will take you through a little bit of a journey, but it really is more fan-based when you're going to watch the video.
Awesome. Well, one of the questions that I know we're always interested in right now is like how are you keeping busy, especially during these times? I mean, do you find that you're more creative and writing more songs, or is that a little bit harder for you right now?
Well, no, I mean, it's actually a very fair question. I'm writing more songs, and I'm trying to be very proactive in doing that, because we don't want to wait another 5 years before we put out another record. We want this one to do well, and we want to be able to put out another one and start recording next year. So I have been proactively, you know, in my little studio writing songs. In our full production studio, where we normally practice, our bass player, Scott, his house, he has been modifying the studio for sound quality. So he's been very busy doing that, just adding like lots of bass baffles and things like that. So we are staying very busy. We do have hangout chats. Just so that we still cohesively talk together as a band, and, you know, we're not getting, you know, they're not writing anything, and we're not working on the songs that I've written, but it's a time to get together and talk and be the band. That's why we've been together for 15 years, because we get along and we want to talk to each other and hang out and do this thing. So, you know, that's what we've been focusing on.
That's interesting. I mean, I've known Brett for like 3 decades, and I don't even like him.
No, well, nobody likes you either, so it's all good. Well, then, but then, no, that's interesting, because, I mean, like, speak to maybe how the band gets together, because we know there's so many bands that do wind up with having issues, so, kind of, especially with your age ranges, like, you know, what is it that really brings the band together?
Well, we really just cut up and talk shit most of the time. I mean, that's really what it's about. When we go to practice, the first hour and a half of practice is, you know, drinking a couple beers and shooting the shit. And then we'll get together and go through some songs and work on stuff. So we really carve out a lot of time to be social with each other. And we always talk on text and, you know, we do these video chats on Hangout so that we can see each other and talk about things. And we don't, there's a lot of things to talk about because, like I said, we're putting out this video. So we get that back. We want to talk about the edits that we want to make with that. I just ordered a bunch of new t-shirts and hats. We got those in. So we're talking about, you know, setting up the modeling shoots for that. Our bass player who's been working on the studio, he's been showing us updates on the pictures of that. He's been working on our new .com. We've been talking about that. So when all this is over and we can get back together, we're going to hit it hard with, you know, being able to be more present for the fans out there that may not actually see what's going on. We can show a little bits and pieces here, but I don't think people are really going to get it until, you know, we can all get together and share it as a group, you know. So, but we've been busy, and it's really cool hanging out with them. I can't wait to see them again because I'm jonesing to play. I crank up an amp, you know. You know, yeah, I haven't had my ears ringing from practice in a long time, and I need that.
Yeah, there's a lot of dry women's undergarments out there. It needs to be fixed.
There is a lot of, yeah.
But yeah, it's an interesting thing, right? Because this is the kind of thing that can definitely slow momentum for a band. But I mean, the nice thing for you guys is that it sounds like you're kind of revving the engine so that absolutely, like, once all this is over and you can kind of get back out there, it will be, you know, full speed ahead.
Right. And, you know, we're kind of in a unique position because, you know, we've been together for so long and we were trying to rev the engine before we got back out there because, in all honesty, this is kind of a reintroduction of Asphalt Valentine to people because a lot of people don't know about us. And so when this hit, it was kind of a, you know, a bummer because we thought it was out of the gate. It was doing really good. And now it's, you know, it's a little, you know, we got to work on some things, but we're very committed to making it work. And we want to get back out there. We want to play shows. And so we are revving the engine and that's all we can do right now.
Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, some of the shows that you've done and were scheduled on them were with some amazing people. So, I mean, you know, is it hard to get on these shows right now, or like do you kind of have to build up to getting the better shows at this point?
Well, you know, it's always been hard for us to get the shows, especially when we weren't with the label. It wasn't back about 10 years ago. We could get some guarantees and we could at least break even, you know, hitting the road and things like that. But, you know, while we're kind of stagnant and, you know, a few years there, it was a little bit tougher because a lot of the clubs were shutting down or they were converting to their cover bands and tribute bands and, you know, original music wasn't, you know, something that people wanted to really see anymore. But now that we're back with the label and we've got some really cool bands that are on the same label, we got Every Mother's Nightmare. They're in the band. They're booking shows. We can kind of ride their coattails and play with them. And we've done that on a couple shows and they're really cool guys. Our label just signed, you know, Ron Keel, you know, a few months ago and he's playing all over the world. And so hopefully there's some opportunities there. So working with the label, it's been a little bit easier. So we can step back and not worry about the show process and let them book the shows for us. And we can just worry about the songwriting and getting the marketing out there for us. So it's been good that way. So once all this is over, I fully see, you know, shows getting back to normal for us, and we'll be out there.
I think you and Ron Keel, the Metal Cowboy, I think that'd be a hell of a good show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
I do too. Yeah, I'm looking forward to meeting him too, because I've talked to him on the phone. He's a really cool guy, and I think we'll be a good fit. Us and Every Mother's Nightmare, we were a really good fit. We had a great time together for the couple shows that we played, and we're looking forward to doing that. So there's a good opportunity to do a really cool package deal with the label, and hopefully we can see that.
Yeah, Every Mother's Nightmare is cool too. Very cool band. You know, one of the things I actually appreciate about you is you always do really carry yourself in the concert and the videos and everything we see about you. You carry yourself like a rock star. That seems to be a very important thing. Like that image, you're pushing out there. Your attitude, the way you walk, the way you are presenting yourself to the public, is I'm a big rock star.
Well, you know what's kind of funny is you know, for years I had social anxiety and I was pretty introverted. Once I get on stage, it's a little bit different for me. I don't know why. It's just, I feel once the chords start hitting and I feel those drums, it's totally different for me. And especially when I see people gravitate towards the music, it's addictive. And, you know, it's for me, not a hard thing to do to really get in that mode, because it's just naturally what I feel. So it's just what I do.
Did you notice that right away the first time you got on stage, or were you not even aware that you were, you know, free when you got up there the first few times?
Well, you know, I've had bands before this, so it really happened before, and I noticed it the first time I was on stage, because I was actually rhythm guitar player and the singer at the time. And well, our first show, we had a really good crowd out there, and it was just like, wow, okay, the more I do, the more they react. And it from that first time, that's just kind of what happened. I mean, there's always times when people don't react, and it is hard to connect with people, but we always do our best to play the same show for no matter what the crowd size is. I mean, we've played for one person before, you know, the wife who showed up, and, you know, 500 people, and we always try to play the same show. So for me, that is important, you know.
Well, that one person must have gotten a hell of a show.
You're
looking right at them. Yeah.
I hope they bought some merch after.
Well, they were sleeping with the band members, so I think they got everything they needed.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because we do hear stories about the bands and playing to the 25 people, and I guess it's a really interesting mindset to be able to kind of get away from that and not use that to be like, oh, this really sucks, but more like, hey, it's okay, we're getting out there, we're going to give them the best show no matter what, and it's just good, solid practice every show you do.
And we've seen some of the biggest bands in the world have that experience too, right? So, I mean, like, huge bands have had that experience of playing in front of almost nobody, even after they've hit sometimes.
Yeah. And for us, and we, again, we won't make the joke about, you know, the band practice or whatever, but again, there's 25 people paid to get in there, and there are people who want to see fans. If we can sell 25 records at a show, that's a hell of a night, you know? So, you know, it is about providing the best entertainment that you can when you go out, because that's what they paid to go see. And we really appreciate every person that does that. And we know that when we go out on the road, there's going to be some shows that, you know, we might even have a guarantee, and then all of a sudden 25 people show up and we're beating down the owner's door in the back room to get our pay so that we can go get some, you know, some gas money or whatever, because they don't want to pay. But we know there's going to be some shows that when we go out and book these things, we know it's not a moneymaker for us, but we love to do it. I mean, we love getting in the band together, you know, laughing, cutting up, and seeing everybody who wants to see us.
You know, you just make the rock and roll lifestyle sound so glamorous. I mean, beating down the door, you know, trying to get the money, sleeping on the bus, you know, waking up next to pigs. I mean, how is it that not everybody's in this lifestyle?
Look, I mean, not everybody can have this lifestyle, but, you know. Look, that's why it's not our, you know, it's not feasible for it to be a full-time job until something takes off, you know. So we all work, and it's something that, you know, we do, and we put a lot of time and effort into it. And it's not a secondary thing for us. It's a very full-time thing for us. Obviously, if we relied on this for a living, we'd be in a homeless tent somewhere under a bypass. But, you know, you do it because you love it. We do it because we feel like we write really good songs. We only want to put out stuff that really sounds good production wise. We know a lot of, you know, bands out there, they got Pro Tools at home and they can put out whatever they want. But, you know, we pay producers to make our music, and a very good producer who's worked with Bruce Dickinson and UFO and lots of good names. And so when we do it, it's going to be, you know, 100%.
What is kind of the band's songwriting process then? Do you guys, do you do all the lyrics? Do, you know, does everybody bring a little bit and you pick from the best, or how do you do it?
Well, for the most part, I would say, you know, 80 to 90% of the songs will start out with my riffs, my melodies. I have a studio here. I just have the ability to sit down and write. So I will, you know, get on Pro Tools and put down drum tracks and write a whole song and do lyrics and melodies, and I'll send it to the guys. And once they get a hold of it, then that's when it really starts to take shape. So everybody's very involved in the writing process. I will start the songs and the ideas. I like to call it meat and potatoes. But once they get, you know, what I call the true musicians a hold of it, they really kind of take on, you know, they take it to a whole nother level, and they get it. Not all of my songs are accepted, you know, they're rejected. You know, we get other band members who have riffs and stuff, and I'm really trying to promote that with the next record. Like, while we're down, everybody just write your stuff. And, you know, once we get back together, I would like to see what everybody else has, and let's work on somebody's song every week, because it is a lot of work for me to write the songs. And this last record, you know, we did a cover. So that was one song that I didn't write. We wrote, you know, the format of it. But then, you know, for the most part, there was maybe one other song that I didn't, you know, fully write, but the rest of them were all came from my ideas. And, you know, but everybody, you know, once you hear this song, you know, we all get together and work on it together.
Well, I mean, it's, and of course, you know, like you said earlier, having the studio where you can play, I mean, because, I mean, and it's great now because a lot more bands, I think, we're hearing are starting to get those kind of studios. But, I mean, it's so important to be able to kind of just work on the music and just to be able to make it sound even better than everybody else. Because, like you say, if everybody else can perform something with Pro Tools, well, the only way to stand out is to truly by making it sound better than that.
Exactly. And, you know, for my home studio, I would never release anything out of here because it's not really that set up. I've got some decent equipment and it's really good to write stuff. But where we practice, we've got, tens and $20,000 worth of studio equipment that we record with. And so it's really cool because we can do a lot of the work in pre-production and full production. And I think, as I mentioned earlier, it's kind of a double-edged sword because we can make something really cool or we can beat it to death because we don't have to pay for the studio time. But when it's time to put the bells and whistles on it, not a lot of people really have that skill to edit and mix, so you really need somebody who's good to do that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, because it says that you self-produced and then Andy Riley did the mixing in this case.
Yep. He has done all of our stuff. He is phenomenal. I mean, he is one of the best that are out there. I mean, and some of the bands that he's worked with, it's really crazy that I've been really good friends with him for so many years. And it, we get to work with him after seeing all the stuff that he's done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I guess it's so important to build up a relationship with this person so that they understand you, what you want, but also they understand your music and what it should sound like.
Absolutely. And he has done just that. I mean, because we've gone into his studio and recorded and stuff, he knows exactly where he's going to go with our stuff. And we give him a lot of freedom to let him do what he wants to do. Going back to the Only, we're kind of a straightforward rock band. And the first time I heard the Only, that he sent it back to me, I wasn't happy with it because there was all this all these polished sounds and things that were going on. And I'm like, what the hell is this? I just want a rock song. And I took a step back and kept listening to him like, it's really cool to have somebody's ear that's not really involved in the writing process to come in and get their perspective on it. He did some really cool stuff with it. And I mean, I think it came out great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, and it's just, cause there's nothing better than straight ahead rock and roll. I mean, when it all comes down, I mean, I know Mo and I absolutely love that kind of music. And I think it's great that you're able to, that you guys want to keep playing that kind of music and that it still exists in this day and age.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And, I had an interview last night as well, and he was very surprised that there's still bands in America doing this. I mean, all the bands that you're discovering, for the most part, come from Europe. And that's where a lot of the rock that we're doing is coming from. So, we're not trying to obviously blaze a trail because we're not doing anything new by any stretch of the imagination, but we just play what's in our hearts and we're happy to do it. And that's just what we love to do. I can't really write anything else, to be honest with you.
Well, that's awesome, Joe. We totally appreciate you coming on the show, and we want to give you the chance to tell everybody where they can find Asphalt Valentine, Twisted Road.
Yeah, well, we've got the Facebook page that we're most active on, facebook.com/AsphaltValentine, and then we got our .com website, AsphaltValentine.com. That is going to be relaunched very soon. We're going to have some music on there, too. As far as Twisted Road, you can get it on Amazon. You can get it on iTunes. If you look for Asphalt and you find Aspat, then, that's the same thing. you can get it there too. And, we're everywhere.
Awesome. Well, we thank you so much for coming on the show. And I urge everybody to go out and find the album, give it a listen, because it's great rock and roll. And we do wish you all the best and look forward to more Asphalt Valentine in the future and less Asphalt Valentine.
Much less Asphalt.
Are you sure less, or do you want more Asphalt?
No. Go tell them. I mean, I don't know if it's like this for everybody, but when I even Google Asphalt Valentine Twisted Road, it comes up in Google as Asphalt on the search at the top. And like I say, Google Music, YouTube Music, I think Deezer. I think those are the three that I know of that I discovered. Because it confused the hell out of me. I mean, I'm like, is this the same band? Like, is there somebody? It did. I had to do a little research to make sure it was you guys. And
is there a porn parody of the band?
Yeah, exactly. That porn parody is. Of you. Yeah, well, and that's maybe. And I thought, you know, Ass Fat, porn parody of you guys. I thought, well, that explains the soaking underwear.
yeah. Well, we could do well. We could always keep it separate. I'm not sure that I'll be doing the porno. I'm married, but
well, hey, you're home alone. What else are you gonna do?
Y'all don't want to see
are isolated. well, good luck to you though, Joe. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you so
guys,
much.
You guys. Kick ass! I'm hoping we get to see you live sometime. I bet you guys would make a hell of a great live album too, with your style and your music and everything like that too. So maybe someday. But I mean, the best live album names maybe already been taken, but come up with a good one and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. We got the gear to do it, so it's something we've been talking about, and for sure. I mean, you know, we're up for anything.
What do you think is the best live album name of all time?
The best live album name?
I'll just tell you. No, the best live album name. I don't know if it's the best live album, but I'll tell you. Junkyard has Junkyard, called yes. Shut Up, We're Trying to Practice. That was, I thought, the best live album name. Shut Up, We're Trying to Practice.
Look, after hearing that, I will have to concur with that because that's awesome. And I haven't heard anything better than that.
Yes, I know. It's,
until you guys come up with one, we'll work one together.
There you go. You've got the bar. Now you can work at resetting the bar.
Absolutely. Well, we can figure it out over a couple of PBRs in wet panties. So we'll figure it out.
That sounds like a new drink now. It's the PBR and the wet panties. You know.
We'll call it wedding the bar. How about that?
I like that.
I'll bet that happens a lot.
Go spend time with your family. They're more important than us. But thank you so much for joining us.
All right. Thanks, Brett. Thanks, Mel. I really appreciate you guys having me.
Thanks, Joe. It was great fun.
All right. Take care.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.